Temptation bundling. Temptation bundling is a way to kill inaction by, essentially, bribery. We've mentioned that one reason for a lack of action is a separation between the current you and the future you. You're only thinking about instant gratification instead of delaying gratification to benefit the future you. Conceived by behavioral psychologist Katie Milkman at the University of Pennsylvania, temptation bundling is a way to blend both future and present needs by making future rewards more immediate. You give yourself instant gratification in the present while also achieving goals that benefit your future self in the long term. It's good for the current you and the future you, and it's simpler than it sounds. If your goal is to satisfy the two versions of yourself, current and future, think about what that would require. Future self wants you to buckle down and take care of business so they're in a good position, or at least not suffering from your neglect. However, current self wants to engage in hedonism and enjoy the present moment. Think eating Twinkies while working out while watching TV, or doing work while soaking your feet in a salt bath. These are examples of ways to make the long term feel good at the present moment, and this is the essence of temptation bundling. Bundle a temptation, current pleasure, with an unpleasurable activity, something you'd otherwise procrastinate, and you get the best of both worlds. There's no need to suffer in the present to get something done for your future self. If you do suffer, then you'll lose all motivation and procrastinate. So find ways to bundle your temptations with your long-term goals. In other words, pair your obligations with instantaneous rewards. Milkman found that up to 51% of her study participants were willing to take action when temptation bundling was introduced. It was an effective means to correct procrastination and avoidance habits. To use this for yourself, you should make a list with two columns, one side being your guilty pleasures or temptations, and the other being things you need to do for your future self. Then, figure out creative ways to link the two conflicting columns in harmony. Suppose you like chocolate, surfing, and soccer, but work, homework, and piano lessons stand in your way. Chocolate, surfing, soccer. Homework, work, piano lessons. How might you combine things to make the unpleasurable more tolerable? There are at least 9 combinations between these elements, and 9 different ways you can bundle temptations. How might you combine chocolate with homework, soccer with work, and surfing with piano lessons? It doesn't take long to imagine how you can bribe yourself into doing exactly what you need to do. Action is usually unpleasant in the best case scenarios. It's something we'd rather not be doing. When you can make the unpleasant just a little bit more tolerable, that's a winning formula. Improve your environment. Tinkering with your environment can make action a whole lot easier. This notion may seem disempowering. We'd prefer to think of success as the result of our own hard work, resolve, effort, and determination. Conversely, we fault failure on deficiencies in willpower, ability, talent, or performance. But when you study how human behavior evolves over a long time period, environment frequently plays more of a part in success than motivation or skill. Environment is the hidden force that guides human behavior. Yes, incentive, intelligence, and labor are important, but these traits often get overwhelmed by the surroundings in which we dwell. It's as simple as us being more inclined to eat cookies if we have an open bag of cookies right next to us for hours a day. External factors are the invisible accomplices for shaping how we react and behave. Over time, the environment conditions our actions and habits on a greater scale than our natures, our talents, and beliefs do. And it's possible to tweak those surroundings so we're enabled to use our talents, decision-making skills, and efforts in the most action-oriented way possible. Brian Wansink of Cornell University conducted a study on dietary habits in 2006 and made an interesting discovery. When people switched from serving plates 12 inches in diameter to plates that were 10 inches, they wound up eating 22% less food. This finding was so effective that food writers have recycled it as a tip for diet success, to the extent that some espouse using tiny plates and tiny portions to curb appetites. It's a great example of how even a minor adjustment in an environment can contribute to improved decision-making. The change in plate size was a minuscule 2 inches, not quite the width of a smartphone, but yielded more than 1/5 of a decrease in consumption. Repeated over time, this minor modification can build up good habits to make major impacts. The guiding principle is to make your environment more likely to trigger the action you want to increase and hinder inaction you want to eliminate, and then ensure these triggers fit in the flow of your life. Simply put, use your environment to make it easier to lose your inertia. Make the easy thing the right thing. Make it the default thing, even. For instance, if you want more incentive to practice a musical instrument, you could make a permanent place for the instrument in the middle of a room with instructions of exactly where to pick up. You could also leave a trail of sheet music that literally requires you to pick it up to walk to your bed. If you want to work out more, you're more likely to visit a gym if it's located on your way home from work rather than 10 miles in the opposite direction. You can also put your gym bag in front of your front door, buy a pull-up bar for your kitchen doorway, and only wear shoes that can double as exercise shoes. Finally, if you want to procrastinate less, you can leave reminder post-its next to door handles in your wallet, things you'll have to touch, leave your work in a place you can't avoid it, and hide your distracting temptations. Decreasing inaction is a function of out of sight, out of mind. For example, supermarkets often place higher-priced items at customers' eye levels to increase the chances they'll buy them. But one could reverse this process at home by keeping unhealthy foods away from immediate view and storing them in less visible or harder-to-reach levels. Put your chocolate inside 5 containers like a Russian nesting doll and put them in a closet. See how often you binge then. To stop smoking, one might consider removing all the ashtrays from inside the home and placing them as far away as possible on the perimeter of their property, so smoking will necessitate a brisk walk in the freezing winter. To keep from sitting down all day, you can switch to a standing desk that will force you to stand up during most working hours. You could also simply remove chairs and coffee tables from the area in which you do most of your work. The whole idea is to eliminate having to make decisions, because that's where we usually hit a snag. Depending on willpower and discipline is risky, to say the least. So create an environment that will help you automate your decisions toward action. In taking that choice out of your hands, you're rewiring yourself to eliminate bad habits from your routine and likely saving a little time in the process. Author Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi, known for the book Flow, calls this general approach for environment changing one's activation energy. The less activation energy required to make good decisions and take action, the better. And by contrast, the higher the activation energy for staying in inaction, the better. Activation energy can also be seen as the overall amount of effort people are willing to spend. Make the conscious choice to make action more immediately accessible, and action has a better chance of becoming a permanent lifestyle change. The if-then technique. This method is a surefire way to stick to your good intentions toward action and actually translate them into real life, no matter what's thrown at you. It's also extremely simple. While considering your desired action, simply replace the italics in this phrase. If event occurs, then your action. We can think of this method in 3 steps. First, choose a goal that you want to accomplish. Second, create a list of the actions your goal needs to succeed, but that you're likely to avoid. Third, tie the action to something that is unavoidable in your daily life. You can think about this in terms of linking actions to each other with the intent that they eventually become one big activity in your mind. And obviously, you want it to be connected to something that will occur frequently and definitively. For instance, suppose that your overall goal is improving your fitness level. Tell yourself, if you brush your teeth, then you will do 10 push-ups. Or if you put your shoes on, then you will walk up and down your street twice for some activity. If you have the overall goal of practicing the violin more, how might this apply? In the same way, if you pick up your violin, then you will play 3 songs minimum. Or if you brush your teeth, then you'll practice violin afterward. If you sit down at your computer, then you'll write down 2 sentences in your book manuscript. If you check your email, then you will reply to at least 5 emails. Again, you want to tie your goal to something you will consistently do, so it becomes habitual for you to take action as well. You're creating a rule for yourself to abide by, and one of the keys to adherence is that you do it before you have to think about it. If you've given it thought beforehand, you can default to that guideline and not have to try to make a risky decision in the heat of the moment. Remember, it's only when we're given time and space to make poor decisions that we will. The if-then method takes that process out of your hands and makes it less of a choice. Anticipate what's to happen, set a rule, and you'll be a step ahead of the game. Take rapid action. Get productive, motivated, and energized. Stop overthinking and procrastinating. Written by Patrick King. Narrated by Russell Newton.